As we continue our journey in Epiphany, we continue to see the ways in which God's Word is made manifest among us. Today, we see how that Word can be challenging to us. Sometimes it can feel overwhelming. Sometimes this Word can be downright against us, and we feel in turn against it. And sometimes this Word reveals to us our own lack of love. We see all of these across our readings today. In our first reading, we hear Jeremiah pushing back on God's call to him. As Jeremiah feels like he is only a boy. He feels overwhelmed to hear this appointment to preach to nations and to kingdoms, even as God tells him he's been appointed for this since before he was born. Even so, he says, "I am not ready." He lacks the courage, the conviction, the wisdom he feels to share what needs to be shared. And as God tells him to go and share this word anyway, he hears how this word of God can act in a variety of ways, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This word of God then can be both severe and incredibly gracious, pointing out our flaws and our shortcomings, and seeking at the same time to make us new, to build us and to plant us. Jeremiah, of course, will have some hard words to share with the people of Israel and the people of Judah specifically, as he must tell them that they will be going into exile, even as he'll also share that God will remember them and build them and plant them once more. But the people have to hear a word that is difficult to hear from Jeremiah. And this is what I think is going on also in our gospel text. The people have to hear a hard word from Jesus. Jesus shows up and is this word of God made manifest among them. And they think, they understand this word that is before them, this person. Is not this Joseph's son? Don't we know Jesus? Won't he for sure, Jesus tells us, do deeds of power here like he has done in Capernaum? They think they have a handle on this word of God, and that it will always mean good things for them. And what Jesus has to share with them is some challenging words. A prophet is not accepted in the prophet's hometown. We don't have some extra special connection because I grew up here. Indeed, I must do what God has sent me to do. I'm not here to do deeds of power to entertain you. I am here to save the world. Perhaps the people are disappointed. And Jesus points out this isn't the first time this has happened. People have thought God would behave in certain ways and that they understood the limits within which God would work, and that they were, of course, wrong. Elijah, in the midst of the drought and famine, is sent not to any widow of Israel, not to the special people who were already chosen by God, but to a foreigner, a widow in Zarephath. Elisha could have healed any of the lepers of Israel, but instead heals a Syrian, Naaman, another foreigner. And in short, what Jesus is pointing out to them is that this word of God is going to work as God desires. This word of God will share grace beyond the limits and the confines that we have established, even beyond the quote-unquote special ones who have a connection with this word of God. And Jesus is subtly asking those in Nazareth, can you accept this? Can you accept that the word of God would work in this way, outside of the boundary lines that you may draw, to share grace as God would see fit, even if that means disappointment for yourselves? The people give a clear and resounding no to that question. They do not like this, and indeed, they reject Jesus as strongly as they can. They're filled with rage, and they take him to the edge of town to hurl him off the cliff on which it is built. They have a hard time hearing what God's word would share, what he shared with them. And they revealed to us what Paul describes in our second reading today, what things look like when we do not have love as we should. When rage fills our hearts instead of love, we behave in ways that we should not, rejecting God's word. This word that reveals to us God's love. Indeed, Paul tells us that we can have all faith, we can be part of God's people, we can have all knowledge, all prophecy, do all these things that look like we understand and know what is happening, but without love, we are nothing. Nothing at all. And so Paul is quite clear that what we really need then is this love of God to lead us, to guide us. These are the greater gifts we are to strive for. For without this love, all other gifts are useless and void. We use them and understand them improperly. And in short, what we see across all of our readings is that we struggle to follow the word of God as we should, struggle to listen to this word in the way in which it demands us to love. And yet the good news is this word keeps speaking, this word keeps working. You see this for Jeremiah, who feels overwhelmed, who feels insecure, and notices all too well his own shortcomings. Jeremiah hears the good news that God will be with him. God will go alongside him. God will give him the words he is to say. And God reaches out and touches his mouth so that he knows, without a doubt, God will be here with me, sharing with me what I need to share with others. It is this presence of God, in turn, we are to rely on as well. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel like what God has asked us to do is far beyond us, we must rely on God's presence to equip us, to empower us, that we might engage the call that we have been given. And as we do this, we will discover something. You'll discover that Paul was right. That regardless of how much God reveals to us of what God is up to, what God asks us to do, and how God invites us to participate in whatever God's plans are in this world, everything that we will know and have access to is only a part. We don't have a complete understanding and vision of what God is up to because we are not God. We get bits and pieces. We know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. And as we do, we must trust in the one who is complete, who has a total vision of how things are and how things are to be. All we can do is engage the part that we have been given, to share the knowledge, the wisdom, the prophecy, the words that God would share with us. Even as we humbly recognize that we don't know everything, all of the answers are not made clear to us. And as we reflect on this truth, we begin to realize and as we look at these expressions of love that Paul describes, that when it comes to following this word of God in a way that we would love as God would love, we are but children, still engaged in childish ways. We fall short of loving as God would ask us to love. Again, because we can only see in a mirror dimly, currently. We see glimpses, reflections of this love of God, of this word of God at work in our world. And when they show up, they sometimes befuddle us, confuse us. It is unclear what all God is up to. And yet all the while, we are invited to trust. To trust in this God who continues to speak and continues to work in ways that reveal God's grace, mercy, and love for us and for this world. And make no mistake, this is a challenging call to follow in this way. There are times that we will be upset with what God says to us. We'll be upset with what God says to others. That we will feel like God is unfair, or that God has spoken harshly to us while speaking grace to those who we know for sure are in the wrong. And in such moments, we can want to reject God's word. We, like the people of Nazareth, may want to throw it away. But even then, this word of God continues. We hear how Jesus passes through the midst of this raging mob to go on his way. And we are reminded that this word of God is not deterred by human shortcomings, misunderstandings, and qualms. Even all of our desire to reject this word will not thwart God's activity among us. God will pass through and continue the ministry that God would seek to bring about. God will continue to bring about the healing, salvation, redemption, and restoration that God knows we desperately need. And we know we need this even in those moments when we are most upset by this word. We are to trust that somehow this same word of God that challenges us, that pushes us to the very brink, is also communicating the depths of God's love for us. That even when we are so certain that God is unfair and that we are angry and enraged by what God has done, even then we are to trust somehow that the word of God is a word that reveals God's love. We are to remember that even still, God is with us and seeks to empower us and equip us to engage in the call God has made upon our lives. We experience this again today in this meal that we share, as Christ enters into this bread and wine, body and blood. We encounter this word who is fulfilled, this word who draws near to us and touches our lips, that we may be filled with what God would say to us. We encounter a word that offers challenging words to us, that convicts us and shows us our shortcomings, and yet simultaneously also offers us the forgiveness of our sins in this blood of Christ. That we in this meal recognize that while we do not fully understand or know God, God fully understands and knows us. God has claimed us and continues to speak to us in and through Christ, who draws near to us again this day. As we encounter this one who both convicts us and forgives us, who both destroys and overthrows our sin and builds and plants us as God's people in this place, we are sent out to share this word of God, this perfect love that we have caught a glimpse of this day. And that as we do, we will know the gift of God's word, a gift that is both challenging and empowering simultaneously. And we must follow wherever this word will lead, crying out as we do, for receiving such a gift as this. Thanks be to God. Amen.